Good morning, my friends. Thank you for joining us today. I'm glad to be back with you after being gone for a little bit. And today I would like to take a moment before I forget to honor Veterans Day that's coming up this week. I don't want that to get past us. And Veterans Day is for us to honor anyone who has served in the armed forces. And the picture that you're about to see is probably more about Memorial Day than Veterans Day, but I wanted you to see that this photo of actually this is my dad's casket for his funeral that was Thursday, and you can see the military honors. The gentleman at the end there is about to help the gentleman at the other end fold the flag and present it to my mother, and there's a bugler in the back playing taps. And so this was a gorgeous day, and it's a reminder of all those who have served this country and are serving the country now, as a matter of fact. And our prayer today is that they know their value to this country and that all the services that are available to them as veterans of the United States Armed Forces, that their resources are easily available to them and readily funded. And so we give thanks today for our veterans. So today's talk is about non-resistance, which is kind of an unusual title to present in the month of gratitude. And I think you'll see in a moment that talking about non-resistance is a key element in our being able to feel and express gratitude. So the material that I've used today has come from my Metaphysics 2 book that I used before I went into ministerial school, kind of skimming the surface, and then used it during ministerial school with copious notes. My books are falling apart, so I made copies of the material I wanted to present to you this morning. So it's very simple. We teach five basic principles in Unity. One is the affirmation statement that we do every Sunday that Ann led us in this morning, that there's one presence and one power in the universe, and that's God. That every one of us is imbued with the Christ Spirit before our creation and manifestation here on earth. Every one of us has that divine spark. The law of mind action, which is another way of saying that the way we think about things, the thoughts that we hold, are created in the world around us. And so not only are we creating our reality, we're also responding to the realities of other people. And hopefully we're responding with thoughts that are generous, kind, positive, have courage to them, patience and strength, all the qualities that Jan led us in today in our gathering prayer. The fourth principle is that we make conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation. And the fifth principle is demonstration. All of the previous four mean nothing unless we're demonstrating that out in the world. And that's how we're going to get to this subject of non-resistance today. So I found in my material, at the very last chapter in my metaphysics material is called Keys to Demonstration, which is that fifth principle. And so the way they've outlined it in my text is that we will find our divine purpose, that we practice meditation, that we use prayer as a way of also having a divine union and communication with the divine, that we see the good in everything, that we practice praise and blessing, that we experience and give love, that we practice non-resistance, that we recognize the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven on earth as a current reality, not a reward for something after we die. So I'm noticing that non-resistance comes before one of the greatest things that we'll know ever in our deepest being, which is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And so non-resistance is important for us because it allows us to make space to be grateful. If we're resisting life in any way, then we've closed off a part of our heart for gratitude. So I'm just going to read to you some of the definitions that come from our old Unity material about non-resistance. In non-resistance, there is no misuse of power through combativeness or through defensive tactics. Now, I want you just to think about that, especially all you nice people out there, you know, because you want to be nice. But sometimes underneath nice is combativeness and defensive tactics. And in nice people, the clinical term for doing that is passive aggression. I think I would rather run up against somebody who's openly combative than deal with passive aggression. It's just so insidious. And it's hard to be to hold a boundary with a passive-aggressive person sometimes. So just go ahead and bring it on if you're going to do it. We're human beings. We're going to have that every now and then. But in non-resistance, we don't misuse the power that's given to us through those tactics. The strength of all your gifts can be turned to the creation of harmonies. The strength of all your gifts can be turned to the creation of harmonies. Another definition says, stand fast and don't be overwhelmed by the many things that lie in your path. Keep your mind on the one great truth, that nothing comes to you in life unless you are ready to meet it. Our assignments are really ours and do not come by chance. What comes to us belongs to us, and all that comes can be met, for all power has been given to us to meet life. So I have here in my notes what that means to me. I wrote down the qualities of calmness, poise, quiet invincibility. And somewhere, I don't know why I did this, maybe I was just doodling, but three times on this page I wrote invincibility, invincibility, invincibility. So I guess at the time I wrote that, that was real important to me. Still is. Singular action, often later joined by others. In other words, non-resistance and taking action from the truth of us lends a power that is magnetic, that draws others to us to support and do that which we are also doing. Therefore, adding strength to our numbers and numbers to our strength, and bringing about real change in the world. This is a divine imperative, this idea of non-resistance. So I'm going to read one more thing to you, and then I'm just going to talk. The attitude of non-resistance, this is the narrative on our reading here, is a most important key to demonstration. So it's important to your fifth step. Spiritual unfoldment is a process, and there is much in human consciousness that requires healing and transforming along the way. This is one of the greatest understatements I've ever seen in Unity material. There is much in the human consciousness that requires healing and transforming along the way. Yeah, there is. Through the practice of non-resistance, we have the opportunity to realize that all situations in life can teach us something that will result in our greater awareness of the presence and power of God. Everything. Through non-resistance, we come to understand that we are not here to attack life, but to learn from it and to grow from it. This realization helps us meet all of life's challenges with inner peace and spiritual poise. All righty. So let's talk about this non-resistant idea. This does not mean meek and wimpy, meek in the sense of the Beatitudes when Jesus talked about, when he talked about the meek shall inherit the earth, he was talking about people who are non-resistant, that let life flow through them and around them to let it teach. And so non-resistance is not saying, no, I don't see you, you don't exist, and you cannot bother me. While we're really bothered, and we really know that it exists. And if you've been around for a while, you know the saying of that which we resist persists. So non-resistance is acknowledging that something is there with which we're not particularly comfortable. And so it's important for us to acknowledge that, to have our feelings about it, and then to use it as a life lesson. Not to push it away, not to fight back with it. Yes, we can have good boundaries around ourselves. Non-resistance doesn't mean letting other people roll over us. Non-resistance is the more powerful position to be in, because it's standing with your feet. Oh, and I think Taylor's moving the camera right now so you can see my sparkly shoes. But it's standing with your feet planted. And if you find yourself in a place where you're feeling attacked or weak or up against something that makes you uncomfortable, it's real easy to get into this kind of contracted position. You know, your shoulders are down. You're protecting yourself here. Your knees are tight. So this is could be an example of the posture of resistance. Non-resistance would call for us to plant our feet solidly on the earth, feel our connection to it, bring our arms to our side, bring our shoulders down. And already, that will have a subtle psychological effect on us and also on the person or the situation that we're encountering that makes us want to resist. So, non-resistance is not about ignoring. Non-resistance is about acknowledging and not getting attached to our feelings about it. There's a very subtle difference here, my friends, and this is a finesse of spiritual growth. This is working at a higher plane of our spiritual power, because it's letting us see things as they are and not getting attached to how we feel about it, like hanging on to our anger, even hanging on to our joy, hanging on to it so tightly we don't ever want it to go away. But if we know anything about our lives, it's that everything is changeable and mutable, almost always. And so all the great writers have spoken to us about sorrow and joy, about pain and healing, about being in the midst of conflict and being in the midst of peace. All these are paradoxes with which we must become comfortable. And we do that through the power of non-resistance. So when you feel your inner or your outer dukes get up to get after somebody, I put my glasses down here because I don't want to look like I'm fighting like a girl. I'm not going to do it. Somebody will tell me I did it wrong. So I'm going to resist that thought. And then be non-resistant, because I'm not a boxer anyway. So, my friends, as you know, this last week, my father died a week ago today. And it's been a time of being non-resistant to my grief. And letting grief teach me what it looks like. Because I have grieved in the past for losses of people on the earth and losses of situations and losses of lifestyles that I'd gotten used to, losses of marriages. Yeah, I said marriages, so yes, there's been more than one. And so I'm familiar with grief. And I've attended to and prayed over people as they were leaving this life. And I was fortunate to be with my family as we midwifed our father, my mom's husband, into the next life. And so throughout this week, I've experienced joy in spite of my sadness. I've let the tears flow without trying to stop them, because stoicism can be a form of resistance. And there is a heroic element to non-resisting your grief. I watched my mother do that with Grace. So she gave us a very beautiful example of that. And so I came back home after my dad died on Sunday. It was peaceful. And never have I experienced the absolute certainty that the doors of heaven opened right then and there to admit him. Tucked a tissue in my book today. Also got some in my back pocket, so. These are tears of joy, my friends, in knowing that my dad, who lived to serve God, walked right into the arms of his Creator. I'm certain of it. I don't know that I've ever felt as close to heaven, to that realm beyond this one, as I did as my dad left this life. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful, and I'm so glad I got to experience it. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And this month is about gratitude. I'm not grateful that he's gone, but I'm grateful that he's not living the way he was living, because it was uncomfortable and difficult. So I'm grateful for that. And then, as you know, I'm not the only one. My family, we're not the only people that have experienced trying to lay one's loved one to rest in the time of COVID. So we did it the best way we could. And there's no sense resisting that. It's the way things are. And when you saw that slide of the casket, you probably noticed that soldier at the end of the casket had his mask on. And the bugler had his mask on until it was time to play. And my mother had her mask on as she received people. It scared me a little bit. I said we needed to just hose her down with hand sanitizer before we left the cemetery. But the day was gorgeous. It was just divine. It couldn't have been a better day. And of course, through this, I'm also helping my children with the first loss of a family member that's that close to them. They only had their papa for 23 years. I had him for 65. I'm so lucky. My parents celebrated their 67th anniversary last month. And we're also grateful that they got to have that together. So There was no resisting my tears. There was no resisting anything that happened. None of my siblings got, you know how families can kind of get crazy around death? And it can bring out the very best in families, and it can bring out the really worst in families. And my siblings and I, I've got four of them. My brother was not able to fly from Colorado to come down, but he was kind of with us throughout. And they really kind of called in pallbearers right at the very end. And I just want to share this with you because this was part of the joy. The casket only needed to be carried from the hearse to a gurney, a trolley, that was then pushed to the gravesite. And so my really tall firefighter paramedic nephew, who's 6'8", was there. My nephew, he's the son of my brother. The son of my sister is about 6'2". And then her daughter is about 5'1". And my David is about 6 feet. So we had a stair step of cousins. And those four young people carried their papa to the place where he was going to be buried. And so here's my tiny niece and all these big, strapping young men. And by golly, she carried her weight. She was amazing. She has been and is on the spectrum, high functioning. But her maturity is about, it's a few years less than her chronological age. And I was so grateful that she was able to express her grief openly, because that's not easy for someone who's on the spectrum. And so there were so many things to be grateful about. There were people that I saw that I have not seen in years at the cemetery. We didn't have any kind of indoor service at all. My uncle was there, my mother's only brother. And he's had Parkinson's for years, still growing strong. Hard to understand, but you could still tell when he was telling a joke, which he's always been good at. And so yesterday, I talked to Leah briefly. I finally dragged my poor, sad self off the sofa and went to Target and took care of the business I needed to take care of to get things for my household. And then I came back. And yes, I felt like I was going through the motions, but I did it. I let my grief inform me of when I was able to do it, because I was not resisting the grief. I was not resisting the joy. I am grateful, and I feel like it's a piece of grace. I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't feel sorry or cheated that my dad is gone, because we were close and we had a good life, and I got to say everything I needed to say to him, and to feel that last beat of his heart was magic. So I've been practicing non-resistance all week, knowing it was coming up this Sunday. And driving in today. No, actually, when I was still laying in bed this morning after my alarm went off, I said, God, okay, it's you and me. It's you and me. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but use your words through my mouth. Because I don't know that I can do this all by myself. As a matter of fact, I'm certain I can't do this by myself. And if I had tried to do it all by myself and steel myself to do this service today, would not have worked. So I had to resist that impulse to try to present some imaginary minister to you today. You know, I try always to be real with you. Today, my grief is real, but I also know that the support for me is so much greater than I could have ever dreamed. And so I want to thank so many of you who have written the most beautiful things to me and text messages and emails and responses on Facebook, hundreds of responses, because my dad was so loved in his community. And he served as a Methodist minister in the latter part of his life, about the same time I started serving as a Unity minister, and we compared a lot of notes over the years. We got to share that. And so I want to thank all those people, all of you, and all of the people that I don't even know who loved my dad, for your generous and loving and supportive and sympathetic and empathetic statements to me and to my family, and especially to my mom. And my mom is now living in a facility where she's being taken care of. And yesterday she had her breakfast brought to her. My sister was there with her. I think my sister spent the night with her. And she sent me a picture of my mom sitting all up in bed with her breakfast in bed. So my mom got to be the queen yesterday and have breakfast in bed, and she looked real happy about it. And so she's in a place where she's being taken care of. And all of the graces of God have been upon us to get their house ready to sell and to liquidate everything that they don't need. And I still say they, and I probably will for a long time. And I'll say her, I'll say just mom instead of mom and dad. Soon enough, it'll come. But my friends, I want to tell you with my truest heart that grief and sadness are sharing the same table with joy and gratitude. They're sitting right there across the table from each other. My beautiful children, one of them wrote a letter, one of them had a poem, and they were the most beautiful and mature expressions of what their papa meant to them. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that, for their wisdom and their maturity at their age, and for their ability to express themselves from their deepest hearts. Yesterday, when I was feeling that another wave of sadness, I took my dogs outside, and I noticed that I was just looking down at the ground. And I finally, something urged me just to look up and look at the sky, and it was the most perfect cloudless blue. And I could finally let my ears open up to hear the birds. And I could smell nature, and I could smell that beautiful smell that fall brings. And the beautiful smell that fall brings is the smell of decaying life. It's leaves that have fallen and are turning into mulch. It's plants that take on a different aroma as their cycle of life ends. So we have an opportunity this month to find our gratitude in every place that we possibly can. And I know that there are times when we want to be grateful, but we're mad or we're whatever. And it's like, I don't want to be grateful right now. You're resisting your gratitude, and you're also probably resisting whatever it is that's making you feel that way. So acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Feel your feelings. Move on. Move on. And if you're holding any grudges, this would be the month to let go of them. I can tell you that on Tuesday, Election Day, and the subsequent days, in the past, I would have been just glued to the TV to see what was going to happen. This year, I just didn't have the energy to do that. And it was one of the most important elections that I've experienced. But I was not attached. And that's the word that's so important about non-resistance. It's not about not having your feelings. It's just about not being so attached to them that you lose your Christ identity. That's the trick. That's where we begin to step up another notch in our spiritual maturity. Hopefully, maybe later this month, I'll be sharing with you a little booklet that I just got in the mail yesterday. I support the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico with Father Richard Rohr. And if you've been with me on Facebook Live on Thursdays, if you've been with me in these services, you know that I've quoted Father Rohr. He has a little book out that's a compilation of writings, and it's about order, disorder, and reorder. We're in that cycle right now. We are after every election. There's disorder, there's order, or some semblance of it, and then there's disorder, and then there's reorder. And as we go through this, in the days ahead for our nation, it's important that we practice non-resistance to all of it. I'll talk more about that, but just think about it. Take it into your consideration, because it's a natural cycle of life. Order, disorder, reorder, and you know you've gone through it yourself. So my friends, this month, focus on your gratitude and let it be pure and clear. Let it be the smallest thing and the greatest thing. Embrace those that you love. See life as it is and flow through it. Life is flowing through us, and we're flowing through it. We're the leaf on the river. That's what we are. And so, as we begin our time of meditation today, I kind of went on a little longer than I meant to. I just invite you to open your hands, open your hearts. You can leave your eyes open if you'd like. And today, we usually use our hands to hold other people in prayer, and we will do that in a moment. But right now, I want you to hold your hands out, and anything that you're resisting today, I want you to lay it in your hands, because these hands today are an altar. And so breathe. Go ahead and breathe. And if you're resisting any person, place, or thing, any idea or manifestation in this world, just put it in your hands. This is the altar of your consciousness. It created these things. It can also let them go. And so, beloved, see them clearly as you breathe. Anything that's keeping you from your gratitude about life, and everything in it. Place it on the altar of your consciousness right here, right now. We're going to bless these things for the lessons they have taught us and will continue to teach us even as we let them go. That person, place, thing, idea may still exist, but our attachment to them will not. And if you're clinging too tightly to your joy, know that there might be just a smidge of fear. And where fear is, joy cannot be full. And so we bless these things that we hold on this altar. Bless every one of them. And then, if you will, just let your hands dump them away. Let them go. Back to the ethers from whence they came. And beloved, look at me now. If you're resisting in any way the knowledge that God loves you, for you are made of God's stuff. It cannot be separate from your Creator. So practice your non-resistance on that love. Breathe it in. Let it heal you, mind, body, and spirit. And beloved, if you've been one to wait to express your gratitude only when something smacks you in the face, I invite you to find your gratitude in all the little things. Look for them. And right now, with your hand over your heart, I want you to let all the things that you're grateful for just fly through your mind faster than you can hold on to the thought of them. Let them just flood through your mind, your body, all the things you're grateful for. Let your heart expand, expand, expand with gratitude. We are moving together into a new beginning as a nation. We're moving into an ending as a nation. We're moving into the unknown season that may bring more illness and death. And even this, beloved, requires our non-resistance. And it will inform us about how to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe. And so we turn all that over to Divine Spirit, for everything is as it is. And when met last time, beloved, I opened my eyes to look at you, to remind you that you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Don't resist that truth. You're doing fine in your heart of hearts. And so you are blessed and you're a blessing. And so it is. Amen.